Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Doesn't enjoy snuff films. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, do you want to intro?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to intro.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week two men watch a movie that one of us can't believe the other hasn't seen. I'm Matthew Olenchek, as always, pretty and handsome, but not as pretty as handsome as my wonderful husband over there, work husband over there. He has a girlfriend. Harrison, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, babe?
I'm doing fantastic. We just watched a wonderful little bit of animated fare.
Yeah, you picked a real bad animated movie last week.
I regret it. I will go here. I'm not sure what I did last week. I apologize, folks. It was better in my head. Not the movie, the experience. I thought it'd make for a better podcast than it did.
I had to watch that thing twice.
I know. We're even now. I've watched it twice.
Yeah, you watching it twice make for over a more decade and me watching it twice in
I feel like it would have made
hours.
For a more entertaining episode.
It was fine for like a minute, and then we just hit a wall, and of us were willing to go past it.
Yeah, it just kind of hit the point where you're like, this isn't worth the effort we're putting in. Unlike this movie, which does have its problems, but none of it's in its story writing. Yeah. All my problems are in universe.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Yeah. No, last week we did Food Fight. This week we watched Mamoru Hosoda's 2009 movie Summer Wars.
Where the only dumpster fire is decisions made by the U.S. military.
Yeah, actually.
I want to give the synopsis of this movie real quick.
Go for it.
Oh no, someone took Joe Biden's Roblox account and now there's a Holocausty-wasty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not far
like,
off.
Like, we'll get into it, but the entire premise of this fucking film, which is fantastic, and the premise works. Like, yeah. they're truthful to it, there's not holes in the premise once they establish it, it's just an insane premise, which is that Roblox is the internet, and if you steal the president's Roblox account, you get access to the nuclear codes.
I mean, in the same sense that, like, password managers, but, like...
But it's worse.
But it's all connected to one...
Yeah, it ignores every single aspect of net security, because you only have one password for everything. Like, the password that, like, the fucking, Minister of Energy uses to log into his fucking, like, control the nuclear reactor account is the same as he does for, like, his mobile phone game. And you can't even do two-factor authentication because your phone doesn't work if your account's hacked because it's all the same account. But they say with such sincerity, like every time I'm like, this is insane, they'll then state the insane fact. So they're acknowledging it, so I'm willing to let it slide. They're acknowledging that this is insane.
Yes, they're acknowledging it's insane. And also 2009 internet was way functioned differently. Like the internet moves so fast.
Yeah, like you can really tell this is an older film because it is just Roblox meets Second Life.
Yeah, he makes another internet. Every 10 to 15 years, Mamoru Hosoda decides to remake the Digimon movie. the Bell, the next one after this, which we'll probably get to at some point, but the next one after this, Bell, is also it's way more of like the 2020 internet, like
But no, I would say the central themes of this movie are Roblox is dangerous. And sometimes there's just families full of sexually aggressive women.
Yeah, I mean, that is a fact. I looked it up and you mentioned Second Life, like pretty much as the opening
was
rolling.
Yeah, it was so aggressively Second Life.
Yes, I looked it up and it's a mixture of Second Life and a Japanese social media from around the same era. I want to say it's called Mixi. Hmm. Yeah, it's So yeah,
yeah, I was dead. It on. Is I'm like, this is like we have corporations. Okay, so it's Second Life.
So this movie is about a man named Kenji and a woman named Natsuki, and she convinces him to play boyfriend for
her
family.
Well, no, no. I mean, eventually, yes. But what she says is like, hey,
do you want a job?
Do you want a job? And he's busy doing a job as a little rat boy in the internet. Because I have to stress, the internet is all... What's the name of the actual... Oz.
Oz.
Oz is Roblox, and it's everything. Everyone works in Oz. If you're the president, you have an Oz account, or you do like nuclear stuff in Oz, everyone does everything in Oz. And he's like a administrative guy or something.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, he's like a low-level engineer.
Yeah, he's just doing basic shit. But she's like, do you want a job? And he's like, I can't do this. And she's like, oh, no, my job was to go across the country with me. And then his friend's like, oh, actually, I can do it. And he's like, no, I'll do it. And so they go. And, like, it's only till they find out that it's, like, it's her great-grandmother's birthday that they say, oh, so you're the fiancé? Is that he realizes what the job is. And I feel like that could have been a talk they had, like, on the way to the train station.
I think, yes, but I also think she wanted him there so he couldn't back out.
Who would back out of that situation? Maybe it's my own proclivities.
Your
but,
own proclivities. Go for it.
If someone said, hey, you want to pretend to be my fiance and meet my family and, like, eat good food? All I care about is women and food, apparently, as we just recently discussed.
That's all you talked about the entire movie?
Is I think all I talked about were women and food.
Women, food, and the U.S. military.
Yeah,
this is
the
complex.
Only things I care about in life.
So he's pretending to be this lady's fiance.
And she's like made up this entire backstory for him.
Yes, which we later find out is based on a different character's like entire
a family member.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who is, like...
problematic of it.
Partially related, yet there was a crush thing. And I don't know. It's whatever.
It's unclear if they share blood.
Well, he's the great-grandfather's illegitimate child.
Okay, so they share blood.
So they share blood through the dead great-grandfather.
Okay, so my hot take of... I'm not sure if I can really tell you what's wrong with step-siblings fucking. Have I told you about this?
Probably.
We're doing a bit of a tirade here. Like, you can cut this if you want to. But I just, like, I understand why it's weird. I don't understand why it's, like, because I think it's a crime.
Step-siblings?
Fucking.
I don't know.
Because they consider it incest, right? And it's not a crime?
I don't know, dude. You know what? You just keep talking. I'll look it up.
I just don't see the issue. Like, I understand it's, like, a bit icky and shit. But, like, if they don't share blood, what's the problem?
Like, there's no way for their offspring to...
Yeah, like, that's why, like... I was going to say historically, but we had tons of incest in the nobility. Like, really, fucking your siblings only became bad pretty recently? This is a weird hot take I'm having. This is a weird thing I'm trying to defend here.
In many places, there are no specific laws explicitly prohibiting marriage between step-siblings.
No, okay, never mind. Never mind.
It's just societal.
Hey, look. Like, a lot of things might be going wrong in this country, but that ain't one of them. I'm an only child. This is a weird position for me to have.
This is a weird soapbox for you to get on this early.
This movie did things to me. I was really angry throughout this movie, not at the movie, but at characters in the movie, and I think I'm just in a fighting mood.
Yeah, you hated those kids.
Those kids should be, I'm still sticking to it, should be executed. The one uncle should be executed.
The, like, second cousin that's real, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he Shoda? Should, yeah, he should be executed.
Oh, 1,000%.
He almost, like, caused a genocide.
Yeah, we're jumping way ahead.
There's several points in this movie, and we'll get to them, where a family, where, like, the plot's almost resolved, and a family member directly causes an issue that stops it from being resolved. I do think that's treason. I do think that's a high felony, and I think they should be executed point blank by an American officer.
Yeah, okay. I could probably get behind that.
I also don't think that the military should get in any trouble for what happens in this movie, because that's unrealistic, that the U.S. military would be held accountable for operations overseas. And it kind of took me out of the movie at the end.
Well, yeah, I think spoilers for, like, the last 30 seconds, But I think it's they took responsibility, not they were held responsible.
I am further taken out.
I agree. No, I agree. However,
it should have been a rogue actor in the American military complex.
Yeah. So Kenji agrees to be this lady's fiance.
Mid-war and terror, too. You ever think? I'm just placing this movie. This is like mid-war and terror.
Yes. Yeah, 09. So that would have been the very, very beginning of... I mean, it's in Japan, but the very, very beginning of Obama's presidency.
Yeah. Like a year in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're like... Sama's still out there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right?
Yeah, so if your second cousin... interrupted you taking out internet Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. AI Osama bin Laden. You would hold him accountable for treason.
Yeah. He deserved to get fucking sucker punched.
But you're wondering, like, what are we talking about here with Osama AI? Well, I think when you were texting me, like, the movies, you weren't taking as many notes because you didn't have time to watch, and the movie is much more vibes, which I think is true.
Yes.
Because we're introduced to the whole idea that Roblox is everything. And then someone texts him a question that says, can you solve this? And he solves it. And it turns out that this kid just kind of by hand overnight decrypted the unbreakable software that guards the passwords of everyone, which is really bad. This is two-factor authentication is important, folks. Besides the two space whales named Yoko and John, because god damn it, whoever made Roblox loves domestic abuse. But then if he finds out that his account has been hacked, and the Roblox is in disarray.
Yes, the AI has taken over his profile.
We don't know it's an AI yet.
Sure, but for sake.
Yeah, for sake.
The AI has taken over his profile, and then from there starts taking over other profiles.
Yeah, and then trying to think chronologically. Because then there's, like, this boy who lives in a closet who plays games, and then we find out that he's the biggest...
Yeah, he's King Kanza?
Who's, like, the biggest PvP guy, biggest fighter arena guy, and he almost beats this guy up. And then the fucking little children come in and get him out of disrupt him so he can't actually fight, which allows all the events of this movie to happen, and so they should be held accountable by a high jury and sentenced to death. But at this point, it's kind of revealed that it's not just some dude who's, like, goofing around.
Right. So, okay. So, there's two storylines going on at the same time that intersect, like, intermediately.
Yeah.
And they're all centered around this one family. There's so many... I love the scene... We're just gonna jump around here. Okay. I love the scene where... Kenji is just the audience surrogate of, like, I'm going to introduce every family member
at once
in the same way that, like, if you've ever, like, met a significant other's family, like, the same way
I'm
they do.
I'm emotionally distant.
I know, buddy. If you ever met a significant
other's family. I'm emotionally distant and not serious and hard to have a relationship with. These are some Yelp reviews I've gotten. I've never met a significant other family. But through this movie I did, because you told me that the movie was the director dealing with meeting his wife's family.
Yes.
And in that moment, I truly felt the fear of being introduced to a bunch of people who are important to something, but I can't remember their names. Please, God, I hope I don't have to remember all of these people.
No, and you don't end up having to... actually remember most of their names.
Yeah,
you just vaguely have to remember, like, what purpose do they serve in this family.
And this family, oh boy.
So
what a kooky bunch of fellas.
Your favorite is the Manuske, the fucking uncle who's real obsessed with war.
The war obsessed squid catching uncle was fantastic. I'm also a big fan of Meemaw, Grand Meemaw.
Yeah.
Who they, like, do a zoom in on an old photo of her where she's quite beautiful and fierce. I imagine, honestly, narratively, it's probably because she looks a lot like... I'm terrible with names. You know this. What's the... What's the girl's name?
The protagonist?
Yeah.
Natsuki. Natsuki. Natsuki.
I'm going to call her Natty.
I literally have her in my notes as Nat.
Yeah, as Nat. She looks a lot like Nat. I think there's comparisons between those two made a lot in here. How, like, she'll probably end up being the new the matriarch. Spoilers. But, like, they zoom in on her being, like, beautiful and fierce because they really need to hammer home that the women in this family rearrange guts of their husbands. Like, a weird undercurrent. It's not pegging, as I've joked.
Sure, sure.
They don't make explicit that they're being pegged, but it is very much like a narrative that, like, that perhaps the main character, Kenji, is different to the other men in this family because he is a bit of initiative, where it does seem that, like, all the men in this family are bottoms.
Maybe,
or rather, all the women in the family are tops.
Yeah, no, I honestly would probably follow
and
that.
And this isn't me being like putting a weird sexual undertone on this movie. This family is constantly telling Kenji, oh, she's got, be careful, she's got a warrior spirit. Oh, you're gonna make, when are you gonna give her kids? Be careful. Like, they're constantly warning her of, like, her strong-willedness.
Yeah.
And it's constantly kind of reference of the women just drag the men around.
Yes, I don't know what the whole, I mean, they don't give you much of the backstory. Well, I mean, they do a little bit, but, like,
the director's working through something.
Yes,
here.
But the granny is the matriarch of the family. Now, I don't know if she was always or if she took over when the grandfather died. Because we do know that the Wabi, the illegitimate uncle is the illegitimate child, yeah, of the great grandfather.
And the family used to have a lot of money, but the grandfather spent it all bad.
Yes, and I don't know if that's if like the grandmother.
They're like an old, powerful family. Yeah. They go like way, way back.
Yes. I don't know if the dynamic is that the grandmother took over once the grandfather passed, or if the grandmother was always, like, head honcho.
I mean, the one guy, the computer guy, does say that, like, the women, that the men, I think he says, like, the men are submissive. He says something very close to all the men in this family are submissive, and that you're showing initiative's good.
Yeah. He stood up to the aunts?
Yeah,
yes.
He's like, it's incredible that a man in this family said no to a woman. Normally they just go, yes, mommy.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Maybe just in this family that, like,
we started this podcast so we could get other perspectives on the movies we love. And I think we're really seeing a good example here. It's a deeply dysfunctional family in every sense of the word.
I don't know if it's deeply dysfunctional. Okay. This is a very good portrayal of a barely functioning family.
Yeah. I want to be clear, I'm not saying that, like, women pegging their husbands is functional. It's just the constant bringing it up to the people you're bringing into the family, I think, is weird.
Yes. Like, I truly believe every member of the family love each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know, outside of their relation to Granny, whether they would all be in the same room
together
ever again.
I think of the ending scene shows she's like a... Spoiler, she dies. I think of the ending scene shows she's like Dorian Gray'd herself into a portrait, so...
Right. But even then, they're all still because of her. So, like, I don't know if, like,
I
once
think it implies that
memory that, has...
That Nat's going to be the new matriarch.
Well, I think eventually... I think it's... I truly... It's going to be, like, a step-down thing. But it does imply that, like, eventually it's going to be...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're losing the train of the plot here. Oh, where was I? Yeah, so the plot's pretty simple, which I guess is why we're not spending too much time on it. The plot's pretty... It is a vibes movie.
100%. The plot is basically...
Because we can just run through the plot. I'll run through the plot right
now.
Go ahead,
go for
it. So we can just talk about the vibes and go...
1,000%, please.
So, like, the little pieces of shit get the AI out. Like, let the AI escape. And then, like, it starts causing a bunch of fucking trouble because it's taking accounts. It's just, like, hacking everything. And because in this world, Roblox is everything. Because the Roblox account is a rogue AI, it uses its Roblox powers to disrupt the national infrastructure of everything in Japan. because everything is hooked up to Roblox. So, like, none of the traffic works, none of the EMS, none of the emergency services work. Like, it's utter chaos. And they the grandmother manages to make a bunch of phone calls because she knows everybody and kind of organize everything. And because of this, the AI, like, cancels her, like, medical alert. And so she dies of a medical thing because the doctor doesn't get a notification. So these kids are directly responsible for killing their grandmother.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you agree.
Yeah. yeah. No. Nah.
So then they're like,
"Did you think I was going to argue with you?"
You have a thing for children and their innocence. So we're
please never phrase it like that again. Never again in your entire life do you say, Harrison, you have a thing for children and their innocence.
Take two. Harrison has a thing for children and their purity. They're pure of heart. So then they're like, oh, we got to avenge our grandmother and also stop this AI because it just killed everyone. None of the women in the family agree. It's only the men. And so they're about to, like, trap it in, like, a box and then drown it. So they're like, they're doing what you do with a virus in an abstract way. And then the stupid fucking police uncle, because, like, everyone, like, there's a news report of Kenji's face because his account was hacked. And it goes,
He was patient zero.
At patient zero. And so they're like, oh, he's a criminal. So they try to arrest him. And they're like, hey, you can't get through traffic. Come back. So the stupid cop guy, they're using, like, ICE, because everyone in this family is super well connected. We have a black site, a deep state black ops guy. We have a guy who, like, supplies computers to government. So they're building this huge rig so that the one cousin who's the greatest fighter can fight it. And they successfully do it.
Sure.
And then this stupid fucker takes ICE to put around grandma so she don't rot, which, like, first off, treason. You're directly allowed. You provide the ability for AI Osama bin Laden to escape. That's treason. That's a felony. Executed. Also, putting ICE in a room with a dead body doesn't do that much. You have to put the ICE. You have to put the body on the ICE.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, like the Snowtown murders. They would keep. No, I'm not thinking of the Snowtown murders. Who am I thinking of? The Blackburn cult, which was a cult. I have to stop myself from going tired. I'm going to keep this very brief. It's not even needed, but I'm hooked in. They were a cult that's like, oh, we're all queens, and we're going to bring up on the new age. And the flower of life, who's our direct link to God, died, and they kept her in an ice bath. You have to keep them, like, surrounded by it. You can't just put ice in a room and expect that to do anything. But it lets the computer overheat. He gets away. And so then they're like, the uncle shows up. Who had, before she died, before Meemaw died, been revealed that he programmed an AI and then he sold it to the U.S. military. And that the U.S. military said, let's put it into Roblox and now it's going to nuke everybody. So they're like, it's your fault, which it's really not. And he leaves. Eventually he comes back because the Nat's like, oh, you do care. Your password's your Meemaw's birthday, which is today. And so he comes back and he's helping. So they make a new plan because he tells her and he drives back and they do the whole thing again. The whole family's in it now because the family realizes, hey, turns out Roblox, which is everything, isn't just a game because it's everything. Because there's like a like asteroid collecting satellite and the AI is going to use that to drop it onto like a nuclear reactor in like 2 hours. And so they manage to, like, trap it in a gambling simulation. The Nat gets special powers from the whales. And they gamble so well that he loses all but two accounts. Because he's like, yeah, he'll do it. He loves gambling. And then they manage to weaken him. And then the Rabbit King fighter, Street Fighter, beats him up. And then they successfully divert the falling satellite. And everyone's happy. And then the family's like, kiss her, kiss her, kiss her, because there's weird sexual undertones in this movie. And then at the end of the movie, we see the photo of grandmother smiling now because she's a poltergeist. Have I covered the plot?
Basically.
Yeah. It's one of those movies where the plot's very simple, but that's okay because it's vibes-based.
All right. Yeah. Honestly, I picked this movie mostly off of vibes. I picked this movie as a reaction to fucking last week's movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. Like, every scene, every scene is so beautifully crafted and all the characters are so good except for the characters I hate, that like there's one character whose whole personality, she just really loves high school baseball.
Well, that's her son.
Oh, that's her son.
Her son is the pitcher.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I thought she was just really into baseball.
No, her son.
I knew the son was a family member.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's why she was so into baseball. I thought her character trait was loves baseball because there's a history of American imperialism deeply embedded into Japanese culture.
Well, she may love baseball. Like, that may be the reason he's in baseball. But no, that like, she's watching her son. Like, that's yeah. What's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why.
The uncle that programmed the AI is the one that Nat wanted to, like, fuck. Which honestly,
when she was like,
yeah,
seven.
When she's a, I get it.
Yeah, he is.
I'm gonna go on record. Guy's smooth. They show a picture of him on the news where it's the most unrealistic thing. Where like the U.S. military takes responsibility, but shows like this is a picture of him at a university, and like, yeah, he's like one of those curly haired book wielding guys.
Yeah, he's got like the aloof nerdy charm to him. No,
yeah,
like I get it. I'd fall for him.
It's the only men I respect.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
I think most other men, and we can cut this.
Okay, no, we're definitely cutting that part. I picked...
Okay. She also tries to, like, kill him. Like, this grandmother...
Oh, yeah.
The matron gut rearranger. Like, once she finds out, he's like, yeah, I programmed this. Because I was going to sell to the military, and we'd have money again. Like, grabs, like, a fucking pole arm. And, like, tries to kill him. Which is wild. That's all I have really to say about that scene is that's crazy, bro. Holy shit.
So I picked this movie because I had texted you a couple weeks ago about what your like experience with anime movies was.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'd seen a couple of the Ghibli ones, which rule.
I've seen most of them.
Most of them? Okay. Well, yeah.
I have like a ton of them right there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't see the entire whatever.
Often asked, like, what do you think about anime? And I'm always go, I've seen a few. It's not something I seek out.
Sure.
I like it. I like Madoka's good. I've seen two seasons of JoJo.
Yes.
I thought that was a fantastic thing.
Hell yeah.
I don't watch much television to begin with.
Fair.
Like, I'm behind on American television. I can barely get into another cultures at this point because I haven't even finished Fallout yet.
I haven't started Fallout yet.
Open spoiler for me. The fucking, we can't cut this, but this is a tangent. Releasing things all at once is bad.
Yeah.
Like, everything was spoiled for me day two.
Oh, lovely.
Because I just go online and everyone's already watched it. And then you don't, like, when the Star Wars shows, thank God Disney does one thing right, is they're released weekly. So, you know, you're like, oh, the new episode. You're excited because it's like Wednesday. It's the new episode. You go home, you watch the new episode. The next day, you're talking to your coworkers and your friends. Like, did you see the episode? And you have a communal experience that I think really makes television a powerful medium, is that it's episodic and it's communal. And when you just dump everything at once, you lose that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. You saw it. You don't see it as much in the internet age. One, because they release everything at once. But two, because the internet niches have scattered. But you saw it a lot with like sitcoms, the newest episode
and like Breaking Bad, Sopranos,
Breaking Bad, Walking Dead,
Lost.
Yeah, dude.
And something that like I understand people want to binge, but just binge it afterwards.
1,000%.
Episodic television isn't meant to be watched because then you're just watching like an 8-hour long movie, which sucks. That's a terrible way to watch a movie. It's 8 hours and it's structured like a television show, so like the pacing's weird because it's episode. We're getting way off tangent. A movie should not be longer than 3 hours 30 minutes.
Yes. To try and bring this back to the point I was making, when I texted you about anime movies and like whether like what your experiences was for future podcast episodes, when you mentioned that you'd seen most of the Ghibli, I was like, okay, now I know like where the baseline is. I think like Mamoru Hosoda is like a good next step introduction to anime movies.
Yeah.
I love the Ghibli movies. They rule. And there are Ghibli movies for adults.
I saw the Dragon Ball one.
Oh, nice.
It was okay.
Okay, nice. Yeah, Princess Mononoke rules, and I would never show a child that. Princess Mononoke is Miyazaki's masterpiece and a filmography of mostly masterpieces.
Yeah, it's really good, and it really makes me feel like have the hots for a capitalist, and that's hard to do.
Hell yeah.
But, like, but no, it is...
Yeah. I feel like this is a good next step where it's like, it's not just a kid's... like
it has everything that I think is good about anime as a medium and none of the things where I think it struggles.
What I love about it as like a next step is like you get into the Ghiblis where it's like this is what childhood wonder feels like.
Yeah.
And then this is like, oh, this is what like adulthood feels like.
Yeah.
Or at least a very, very...
Your wife's family's constantly telling you to get ready to be fucking loose.
Okay. A very, very specific aspect. It's
aspect.
Fuck off.
This family's like sexually aggressive, and you can't deny that.
I never did anyway. I don't.
It's strange because like I think she's in college and he's in high school, but this family is like pushing for them to bone so hard. Like at first they are, then they're like, "Oh, we don't like you. You're a high schooler." And then at the end of the movie, they're like, "Haha, never mind. Make her super pregos and get married." Weird.
Listen, different families have different dynamics, and it's...
some families just when you get a boyfriend, they're like pump her up.
Some probably. I listen. I don't know. The scene where they're introducing a bunch of family members all at once, and like you're not gonna remember any of their names, but you do have to vaguely remember their personality traits, is so real.
It is. That was an incredibly real scene.
Like, meeting Neve's family, like, there were the two members of her primary, like, her mom and her brother, were, like, the two members of the primary family. And then, like, when I met a bunch of cousins at her fair, and I was given, like, eight names at once.
When you met her mother and brother, did they assume, a dominant physical stance and, like, yell at you?
They didn't yell at me, no.
But they assumed a dominant physical stance.
No, but there was a definite air of like, who is this person?
Folks, I respect Neve, Harrison's beloved, a lot, primarily because of how much of an aggressive force of nature she... You wouldn't know it hearing Harrison on this podcast. Very easygoing guy. He's dating a typhoon.
I love her very much.
She's fantastic. She is a typhoon.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would be legitimately nervous to be on the wrong side of her.
It's
physically she's imposing, not height wise. She's like a Smurf, but like she could still kick your ass. She's three apples tall like Achilles with her bare hands.
Yeah, and
I'm putting my life on the line by just saying this in a public medium. I'm watching this like movie of like aggressive women and just aggressive family in general. Yeah. And I'm like, this must be what it's like for Harrison.
You're not far off, to be absolutely honest. Listen, this says far more about whatever psyche than I am comfortable sharing with the world. There is something to be said about a woman who could kill me and chooses.
That's
not
my
to.
Entire MO. I'm putting this on public record. I want to be Muppeted. I will not explain it. You can do that in your own homework.
Jesus. Okay.
I just need a woman who will hit me in open jars. Maybe carry a heavy box now and then.
What about a woman to love you and like be affectionate?
That's secondary. That's a strong second place.
Okay, good.
It's up there.
At least it's in the running. But no,
looks as if sometimes I do things. I'm like, why'd I do that? Someone probably should have hit me.
No, yeah, I will say this is a movie I watch every couple years. This is the first time I've watched this movie since Steve and I got together. And I relate it to Kenji a lot more.
Yeah, you truly are. Kenji's just this sweet, sweet boy. Instead of film, his thing's math. But like, he really is just a lot of this movie is him reacting to just being put into a family of strong personalities. There's not a single, even the submissive men, submissive femboys of this family are strong personalities. There isn't a single person in this movie who doesn't have a soapbox they'll die on for no reason.
That is I think that's why I love this family so much. It feels real.
They do an incredible job. This family feels like a real family.
Yes.
A lot of times in things, I feel like your families are too congruent with each other.
Yes, they're either too perfect or too disagreeing.
But there's just there's the one character who I'm going to refer to as Wine Aunt. You know the one.
Oh,
where she doesn't really do much in this fucking movie, but be a wine aunt. She just kind of goes around and says, "Oh, you're gonna fuck her?" Drinks a bunch of wine, eats food, says, "Can you help us?" Oh, I mean, she's fantastic. And it's like, that's just a real person. That's a real person that shows up to your family reunions. I wouldn't know. We've never had one.
No, it is a real person who shows up to family reunions. I just haven't had a cousin.
They're talking about my cousins. I'm like, I have cousins? I didn't think I have cousins.
Explain.
I mean, I have one cousin. I know that because he's my uncle's kid. But apparently, my mom says I've met them before. I don't believe this, but cousins. I know. I think I had a cousin in New York who plays violin, like in a what do you call it, orchestra.
Listen, every once in a while, I just get new lore. You just drop lore, and I'm so happy this happened.
I think she owns. I think she writes cookbooks that are published.
Oh fuck yeah, dude!
The family's not really. My mom says it is. It's really. It's because a bunch of them live in one house. That's the only reason we have any family cohesion. If most of them didn't live in one house, there'd be, I imagine, very little contact between members of my family. So it's nice watching this movie to see what a family's like. I felt like him being like, "This is nice. Thank you for having me over for dinner and games." I truly don't understand. I've never experienced what it's like to have this before.
Nice. It's pretty chill. I'm gonna be honest.
Like, I have like a mom. That's my family.
Nice.
And uncles.
Yeah, my mom's side is smaller and
I'm
loving.
Harmed by not having a father's side. I feel like if I had that, I would probably have more of a family growing up. But my grandparents, they hate each other.
Yeah.
And everyone argues in my family except my mother. She's like, "Stop fighting, guys. We're Thanksgiving." And meanwhile, like, my grandfather's like, "Oh, do you talk bad about the Navy, I sir?" My uncle's like, "All he did was fuck whores in Cuba, Dad." And I'm like, "Yeah, all he did was fuck whores in Cuba." And then my other uncle's like, 9/11 didn't happen. And he starts laughing to himself. My mom's like, "What are you talking about?" And that's my family experience. It's a lot of yelling. We didn't have Thanksgiving for like 3 years.
Not the second part, but a lot of yelling is a pretty like normal family experience.
Yeah, apparently I have I had a cousin, but then my uncle got divorced and now he doesn't trust women no more.
So did the cousin just disappear?
I don't think she's my cousin anymore.
Oh, so it was an in-law situation? Okay.
He was cool.
Nice. Yeah. Where are we? How?
Like, conceptually?
Like, in this recording, we vaguely talked about the plot. How long have we been recording?
I mean, it is a movie, like...
Only 53 minutes.
There's not much plot-wise. The movie really is just kind of an examination of family. And is it raining? Bring someone into a family is like meeting another family, which, as you said, was his intention. And I think that really the plot is almost secondary to that.
Yeah, we've said this a thousand times. It feels honest. I really like it. Neve has not met most of my dad's side of the family, not on purpose, just like.
She would fight them all?
Well, that, yes. 1,000% she would fight like half of them.
I got to assert my dominance. Kia!
Not even a dominance thing. They would just piss her off. But
what's the noise you make when you kickbox?
Yeah.
What noise do you make when you do a kickbox move?
I think it's just any grunt.
Ah!
Okay. Not on purpose. There's not like a reason she hasn't met them. Just like it hasn't happened. Like it's whatever. The opportunity has not happened. But... I know what it was like on my end, and like I'm very interested to see. I want her to watch this movie. Like, I want to know if she if she feels any of like what it was like to.
I don't think she feels fear.
No, not okay. Yeah, no, she definitely. I'm sure she does. Anyway. This is a fucking mess. Yeah,
the watching you lose confidence there, incredible.
Lose confidence in what?
You're like, I don't think she, I mean, she does, I don't think, she probably doesn't.
No, she definitely is afraid of things.
Like? Give me one phobia.
I'm not.
We can cut this. Give me. We can bleep it out. Give me one thing she's afraid of. It doesn't got to be a deep fear. It could be like spiders. One thing. One thing that you go, oh, I should keep that away from her. She has a phobia of it.
Anyway.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Fuck off. Ugh.
I got needles. Needles for me?
Yo, she does not like needles.
Clowns for you?
Yeah. No, she does not like needles at all. Not even slightly. She's not, I don't know. It's not like a phobia. It's just like, she just hella doesn't like
them.
She was
telling me a story once.
Oh yeah?
About how, you guys were going to Target after, It had come out. And, she had you do, she distracted you by making you go do something, then ran to the DVD section and flipped around all the DVDs of It so you wouldn't see the clown. Much of you know this. I might be breaking this live to you. But this was something she told, and I thought it was a very precious story. I'm like, oh, she does care.
She may. That sounds like familiar, or it just sounds like something she would do. Like, she's a gremlin. But
just,
like, she's,
that's why imagining it's so funny loving to me. Because just her going, nah. She's like running. She's just that stance she does. And she's like, duh, duh, duh. It's an audio medium. This is really selling well. I'm surprised. I feel like we should have seen more of Nat. I feel like she's not in this movie as much as I thought she'd be.
Especially not in the internet world. Yeah,
yeah,
they, that among
it's
yourself.
Really, yeah, she's everyone else in the family, which I guess is makes sense because the movie's about meeting a family.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the person whose family you're meeting almost becomes secondary to the experience because you know them. But you don't see much of her in it. Like, in the middle part of it, she just kind of fades away for a stretch of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's because you just see, like, it is getting to know the various family I never really noticed. And she's, like, in it just enough that you get to see how she interacts with the family, especially the estranged uncle.
Yeah.
You get to, like, see how she interacts. And so Kenji is the audience surrogate, who I also believe on some level is the Mamoru Hosoda.
He's 100% self-insert. Him trying to vent about meeting his wife's family.
Do you think when he showed this movie to her for the first time?
I think she found it entirely on her own. I think he said, I'm not happy with this one, so I'm not going to show it to you. And then just...
Do you think she felt any kind of way of like, that's what you think of my family?
She has to have. We know that that's what the movie's about.
Here's the thing. Other than Shota, there isn't like that. There's not like a hella annoying family member.
They're not, but they're insane.
Yes, but they're neurotic. Yes, they all have their own neuroses, in the same way that people have their own neuroses. And I
that
like
is,
how he doesn't.
That is an exceptionally dysfunctional family.
Sure, and I think it's a little played up because it's the first time, and so he doesn't know what their dynamics are, and so everything feels emotionally heightened. But yeah, other than Shota, there isn't like a really annoying family
Those
member.
Those fucking kids.
Okay, you just don't like kids.
They let AI Osama bin Laden, like, cause the escape of AI Osama bin Laden before he did 9/11.
1,000 and sure.
And then later on, they were about to disconnect the wires in their second attempt. Those kids do nothing productive in the movie. They only cause issues.
Yes, they're also six or seven or around.
Yeah, no
then.
Excuse when it comes to national security.
Okay. I don't know what the U.S. military would do to a fucking first grader.
I mean, we've definitely droned some.
1,000%.
We've definitely droned some first graders overseas, so I'm sure that they would be put in Guantanamo Bay, which is where my grandfather served and fucked whores. Those are the Guantanamo whores.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Sex workers. This is the correct term. it's just funnier to call them whores because he gets really upset about it when you call them whores. He doesn't really understand what you're saying when you say sex workers because he's like 90.
What does he call them?
Whores.
Oh, he called them whores?
Yeah. Okay.
I thought like he got upset when your uncle called them whores because he said something.
No, he gets upset when you call them whores because he views sex workers as less than.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry there.
He's like 95. Well, I don't expect him to be like, yeah, fucking, we should support people on OnlyFans with healthcare. I don't think he's going to be there.
All right. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
No. I think I liked it. Got into the action quickly. That was good. I didn't spend too much time on setup.
No. You're in the house before the 10-minute mark.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
And shouts out to his friend whose avatar is just a floating monkey head.
Yeah.
He does a lot of good work in this movie. He doesn't have hands.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to cut this down to probably like 40 minutes. This is just a chill vibes episode. I love this movie a lot. I watch it every couple years. It's dope. I'll watch it again in probably 2 to 3 years. Maybe we'll do a re-record where I would love to see what this episode would be like, one, in like 2 to 3 years, where we're better at this.
Mm-hmm.
But also like when I have time to sit to like actually notate and like have a structure. But no, I love this movie. It feels honest. I love my partner very, very much. This movie rules. I give it all the thumbs up.
I give it one thumbs up because I have to hold my microphone with the other hand.
Fair enough. All right. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. So Instagram. We have an Instagram, yes. We haven't yet posted anything. Behind the curtains, come with me, the Wizard of Oz. We're pre-recording some, so it may sound like I just don't know what I'm talking about. I just haven't really touched any of these yet. I want to clear that up. I'm not a moron. But a Two Men Movie Podcast, you can find us on Instagram there. I'll probably put together some fun Photoshops for each episode release. It will just be me and Harrison's face on things. Two Men Movie Podcast at gmail.com. If you want to email us, Facebook, we have Two Men Movie Podcast. If you want to follow us there. Two Men Movie Podcast at YouTube, where we'll have like audio versions up. We might do videos eventually.
Maybe. We'll figure that out. Yeah.
We have a Twitter. It's mostly for marketing, so I'm not gonna share it.
Yeah.
It's like Two Men and a Movie. And then you can find me on Instagram at Midwest_Magician.
This is Editing Harrison saying that you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at harrisonpoole.com. That's P-O-O-L-E, harrisonpoole.com. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music.
Thank you to Nee for giving Harrison context for this movie.
Truly not a joke. I loved this movie before we got together. Thank you for giving me like
thanks to
a
our culture advisor Neve for understanding that Reich Club.
Okay.
Thanks to Roblox.
Thank you to Mamoru Hosoda for fucking making this banger.
Yeah, it was really good. Thanks for having a rough time meeting your wife's family.
His next movie, Wolf Children, is probably my favorite animated movie of all time. But this is the much better introduction to his filmography, so I picked this one.
It's that smart, yeah. Thank you to Ted Kaczynski. Your sacrifice will never be forgotten. Alright, bye, I love you all! Kisses!
Love you, bye.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.